Good morning. If you're new with us, we're delighted that you could join us in worshiping together. And it's always a pleasure to see familiar faces together to worship our amazing God. And this morning's study, we'll look at the topic of adoption. This is a topical sermon. So we're going to look at the topic of adoption. Now, in the Bible, the language of adoption is quite beautiful, actually. It's amazing, but I think the right word is beautiful. You know, adoption in the Bible speaks of the power of God to transform anyone from death into life. Again, adoption is just one way that God demonstrates his amazing love for humanity. And with adoption, at least from Scripture, and we'll study this, with adoption into the family of God, also comes inheritance. Now, today we may understand adoption in the context or in the language of legally bringing someone, typically or most often bringing a child into your family. You go through this process of adopting a child or a person, whether you do it locally or internationally. But this is a practice that a lot of people do. I think World Orphanage .com, they estimate that there are 153 million orphans in the world. 153 million. Now, not all of the 153 million orphans are for adoption, but that just tells you how many children or how many people are orphans in this world or without parents. And of that percentage, I'm sure they are for adoption. And we know that proper adoption today is very expensive. I did a quick little research, and I was kind of shocked by this. But if you wanted to adopt a kid internationally, they say if you want to do it legally and do it the right way, it's going to cost around $40,000 per kid. But if you wanted to go through a local adoption, say in Vancouver or Canada, you're looking at about $20,000 to $30,000 per kid if you wanted to do it if you want to do it legally and you want to do it correct, in a correct manner. I better move this, just in case. Now, with adoption, with the idea of bringing somebody legally into your family, that person now belongs to your family. Most likely, that person will take on your family name. That person will most likely be considered a family member, even if they are not blood. And most likely that person will have all the benefits that your family has, to be loved, to be taken care of, to be provided for, to be taught by the parents or siblings, to be included into activities. And also, most likely that these people who are adopted will likely be recipients of any inheritance that the family may have. Now, likewise, that understanding that we have today of adoption is also it's also similar in the Scriptures. That the biblical idea of adoption also makes available to God's adopted children all of those benefits, but even more so. And that's what we're going to look at today. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, the Word of God says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons," and I add, "and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son and daughter. And if a son and daughter, then an heir through God. Formerly, you did not know God. You were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. And now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and miserable principles of the world? Do you wish to be enslaved by them again?" And then we also see in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Word of God says, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So this language, this prepositional phrase, in Christ, it refers to those who are adopted into the family of Christ. To be in Christ is to be adopted into the family of Christ. That those adopted into the family of Christ have no condemnation from God for their sins. See, this is one of the benefits or the inheritances to those who are adopted into the family of Christ. That if you are in Christ, there is now therefore no condemnation. Why do we need this promise of no condemnation? Because in Romans chapter 6, just a couple chapters before that, the Apostle Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death." I'll say that again. For the wages of sin. You know, when you think of wages in the most cliche way, think of when you're working to make a salary. You earn that salary. In the same way, the sins that you have committed, you have committed against God, you have earned death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says. The prepositional phrase again. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So those who are adopted, those who are adopted into the family of Christ, there is no condemnation for your sins. But you have been given eternal life, and this is a gift of God to you through adoption. Being adopted, you inherit this blessing from God. And this is a gracious gift to all who would receive it, because, as Scripture tells us, the opposite should have actually happened. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That everybody should receive God's condemnation because they earned your condemnation. All people sin, therefore all people should receive condemnation. And that's why Romans chapter 8 verse 1 is such an incredible blessing that God promises to those who belong to Christ. That if you are in Christ, if you are adopted into the family of Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation for all of your sins. And even more to inherit through adoption, we see Romans chapter 8 verse 11, where the Word of God says, "If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." You see, in adoption, also those in Christ will, like Christ, receive a glorious bodily resurrection from the dead. And this is a promise that God makes to those who are adopted, those who are in Christ, that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also raise you from the dead. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 to 14, which I won't read all of it, but I just want to highlight some of the points that the apostle makes about the inheritances that you receive being a child of God or child of Christ. It talks about how people adopted by God into the family of Christ, they have redemption through Christ's blood. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is made known to them. That they are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. See, as I said earlier in the beginning, adoption is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Because in the Bible talks about adoption, the adoption that God does for humanity. It's this beautiful image of his love demonstrated by taking people who are dead, enslaved to sin, and he gives them life. He rescues them from that bondage, that enslavement, to giving them freedom, giving them life in Christ Jesus. Giving them this reassurance that there is no more, there's no condemnation for all of your sins. It's paid for in full. And this is one of the blessings of being adopted into the family of Christ. And that's why adoption is beautiful. And so I listed down a whole, I read a lot of the blessings of being adopted into the family of Christ. And I'm just going to summarize really quick. I wrote it down in point form, just in case if your memory is, if you don't have a, not photographic memory, but hearing memory, I guess. I don't know if there's a term for it. Anyways, I certainly don't. Anyways, so to summarize the list of inheritances in adoption, at least from what Scripture tells us. The first one, again, those in Christ have redemption from the law. Redemption from the law, think of it like this. You know, when you do something wrong, you commit a crime, right? The law tells you that you committed a crime. So therefore, because you have committed that crime, the law is after you because you committed that crime. You are a criminal. And the law is that entity that comes after you to punish you, to arrest you, to bring forth consequences for your actions, right? If you speed, when you get a ticket, that ticket is it's letting you know that you have committed a crime and that this is the consequence of your crime. So when those in Christ have redemption from the law, they have been redeemed from their crimes. That the law says you are guilty, you deserve death, you deserve punishment. In Christ, you have been redeemed from that judgment that the law tells us. And also those in Christ, number two, have God's Spirit dwell in them. Have God's Spirit dwell in them. Number three, an inheritance through adoption. Those in Christ call God intimately, Abba, Father. Just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying to God, and he uses the very same words, Abba, Father. And he pleads with God to let the cup pass. That's a very personal address that Jesus has with God the Father. In the same way, the Apostle Paul tells us, those in Christ, you can come to God the same way in a very intimate manner. That in adoption, you have this intimate, close relationship with God. That you can address him like the way Jesus addressed the Father. Abba, Father. That those in Christ, they have the Holy Spirit sealed reassurance of belonging. That seal, that promise, Holy Spirit, that is the reminder that you have been sealed, you have been bought, you have been paid for, and that now you belong to God. It is that reassurance, as Jesus says, if you are in my hands and no one can take you away from me, how much more the Father, that anyone can take you away from the Father? No one can. It is that reassurance that you belong to God, that you have been paid for in full, and that Holy Spirit is that reassurance. And as Scripture says, because the Holy Spirit is our reassurance and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, we too can look forward to a bodily resurrection. That we too can look to that glorious day when we raise from the dead in our glorious body. Does it mean that you're going to look like Brad Pitt? I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe it's a body that is free of sin. And we know how much we long for that. And the list continues. The inheritance list continues. It's almost like I feel like we're in a law office and I'm telling you all the inheritances that you seek to gain. Anyways, number five. Another inheritance. Those in Christ, they are no longer a slave to the miserable, and I think that's how the NIV translates it, the miserable standards of the world. You know, when you think of the miserable standards, we live in this culture where we're constantly inundated by magazines, media, music videos, television shows, everything that that sort of shapes the way we think. We have to look a certain way. We have to talk a certain way. We have to dress a certain way. Even I have conformed to trying to look cool and hip. Like trying to fit into skinny jeans is like ridiculous. But I wanted it. My wife and I were at the Levi's store in the States. I was like, sweet, I really want it because all the cool kids are wearing this. I want to wear this. And I put it on. I was like, man, this does not look good at all. But I want it. Sure, it costs $50, but okay, can I get it, sweetie? And my wife's like, yeah, go ahead. And so I get it and I've stretched it, you know. Or maybe I lost weight. I don't know. Anyways, so we're constantly inundated by society and this world. And not to say it's bad, but there's certainly our culture and the world that we live in. There's a lot of things that are bad, right? That you gotta look skinny. That you gotta look a certain way. You gotta be pretty. I was in a camp car with some girls, and they were telling me all these makeup stuff that you can get. And I'm like, I've never heard of this stuff, but we need it apparently, you know. And the society that we live in. Not to say all of it's evil, but certainly there are elements of it that teaches us or encourages us that we need to be vain, you know, that we need to be a womanizer, or we need to be sexist. Or we need to fit into a social class or a popular group in school or whatever, that we constantly are trying to fit in. That is what the Apostle Paul says. We are enslaved to this miserable standard of the world, these principles of the world. We're caught up into it. We can't help it because we're enslaved to it. And the Apostle Paul says, those who are in Christ, they are no longer a slave to the miserable standards of the world. That you can find your identity in Christ and be happy. That maybe you're poor, but you can be happy because of who Christ is in your life. Though I am poor, He has made me rich. Though I am weak, He has made me strong. And that is the gospel. That is what it means to be in Christ. That no matter where you're at, you don't have to be a slave to that standard. But that in Christ, no matter where you're at, there's joy and there's happiness. There's acceptance. There's beauty. And so, to continue on, another inheritance of being in Christ, they are free from God's holy condemnation, as Romans 8:1 says, against your sins. And as Ephesians says, they now understand the mysteries of God. And the mysteries, that is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know, I've done ministry for some time, and you know, I don't claim to preach the best gospel message of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'm missing this element or missing that element, but I try my best to preach the gospel. And so I would preach the gospel to a bunch of people. And I've always wondered, why is it that some people believe and understand, and then some people don't believe and understand? It's not like I gave a different message for one person to the other person. It's the same message of the gospel, but why is it that one understands and one doesn't understand? It's because the one who understands, they have been adopted into the family of Christ, and God has made His mystery known to them. And that they, now when they hear the gospel, it's not just, oh, here we go, the gospel again. It's, wow. This is the gospel that saves a sinner like me, as John Newton would say, you know. And so these are just some examples of the inheritances that we receive in Christ. And this is why I say adoption is beautiful. And that's why I say adoption is great, to be adopted into the family of Christ. What an amazing thing. So is being adopted into the family of God the greatest blessing one can have in this world? Yes, absolutely. Is it better than having all the money in this world? Yes, because all the money in this world does not give you eternal life. You can get the best doctors in the world, but you'll never live forever. Is being adopted into the family of Christ the greatest joy one can experience? Yes. Because nothing else in this world promises you forgiveness of sins as a free gift. There's a ton of religions out there that will tell you this is how you make right with your wrong. But not a single other religion or other thing in this world that gives you forgiveness of sins, total, complete forgiveness of sins as a free gift. You have to earn it everywhere else. You have to work for it. You know, people live their entire life trying to earn forgiveness and never truly know if their sins are really forgiven. But in Christ, your sins are truly forgiven and paid for in full by Jesus' blood on the cross. There's no doubt about it. How do I know it is? So being a child of God is great. It's amazing. It's a blessing from God. It is totally by grace and grace alone. So you may ask then, if it's so good, if it's so great, are not all of humanity God's children? Is not everybody in this world God's children? If this is so great and God is so good, isn't all people God's children? And we hear that sometimes, right? Aren't all of people God's children? And the answer is no. Not everyone is a child of God. Romans 8, 5, 9 says, 5 to 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And I put this in bold, but you don't see it up there. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. I'll say that again. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So is it dangerous to say that all people are God's children? Yes, it is very dangerous. Because when you say that, that implies that all people are recipients of God's inheritances. You know the long list I gave you guys? When you say that, it implies that everybody is due to receive these blessings, and not everyone receives it. As Romans tells us, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Adoption into the family of Christ is not exclusive to any ethnicity, nor gender, nor how popular you are, or nor how good of a person you are. But adoption is for anyone who would humble themselves to repentance and would place their trust through submission to following Christ, right? The Spirit, those who are in the Spirit, they live according to the Spirit. They live abiding to God's law, living to follow God. Anyone who humbles themselves to repentance and would place their trust through submission to follow Jesus, they receive the adoption of God into His family. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says to people, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, we cannot see that the family of God is this exclusive club, but that the family of God is a very inclusive. It welcomes all people who would humble themselves and trust in the Lord to follow Him. And as Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." That is an invitation to all who would receive this gift of adoption. And so maybe there's some of us here, and that we've struggled and we've wondered, well, you know, I've never really given my life to Christ. But I want to have these assurances. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Humble yourself. Humble yourself to repent of your sins and he will receive you. Humble yourself to follow him and he will lead you. As Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. They live abiding in God's will. And in James chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 26 to 27, it says here, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You know, perhaps, and as I was reflecting on this, perhaps our heart, you know, our heart wants the blessings of being adopted into the family of Christ. We want it. In our hearts, we all want it. But do not actually want the life of a Christian that comes with it here on earth. We want the blessings, but we not really want the life of a Christian here on this earth. Instead, what we really want is we want heaven, but we don't want to follow Christ here on this earth. And this is what James would refer to as, this is what we call being religious without worth. So maybe you want to, how do you be religious without worth? It's easy. All you have to do is associate yourself with the adoption of Christ, but not actually live out the inheritances given to you graciously. I'll give you some examples. And this happens a lot. I want to be forgiven for my sins, but I cannot forgive others. Right? That's one. I want to receive the forgiveness of Christ, but I just can't forgive other people. You know, I want Jesus to help me out. But I don't want to spend any time with Jesus, nor do I want to help anybody else. I want this, but I don't really want to help anybody else. You know, or maybe the mentality is my dad, my spiritual father, owns everything, and according to scripture, I will inherit it. So I don't really need to worry about these things like pleasing him, following him, being obedient to him. I don't really need to worry about it right now. That stuff comes in heaven, right? You see, it's easy to be religious without worth simply by calling yourself religious and having nothing to show for it in your life. You know, my buddy Eugene, and you guys know him because he's preached here a few times, and sometimes I hate him because he says things that I don't want to hear. And so my buddy Eugene, once he called me out over Google chat. He said to me once, he said, how could you preach the gospel of forgiveness if you yourself cannot forgive? And I wanted to punch him like through the computer because he was right. How can I preach the gospel of forgiveness if I can't forgive? Am I religious with no worth? You know, as I was preparing the sermon, you know, I looked through a lot of pictures in this hard drive that I have of my Christian life, just to see how my life went from being adopted into the family of Christ to where I'm at now. And I would encourage you, if you guys have a lot of pictures, just take some time, just look, go through some of these pictures for reflection and see how God has worked in your life. It's quite humbling, actually. And so, you know, I came to see that living as a child of Christ, you know, it wasn't so much about I'll wait for heaven, so I don't really need to live for Christ now. I'll just wait for heaven, this promise of eternal life. I'll just wait for that. In my mind, in my heart, I've never, or maybe sometimes, but the idea of waiting for heaven and not living for Christ now didn't make sense to me. So I found that looking through the pictures, it's living for Christ here and now that I found some of the most amazing relationships. And not only that, but living for Christ here and now, it's also helped me to understand God's calling in my life so much more than if I didn't live for Christ now. And so if you would allow me, I would bore you with just a couple of pictures of that I've took from this massive database of pictures that I have. And I just want to open my life a little bit to you guys and share a little bit. So would you, if you don't mind, I would like to bore you just for a couple minutes with this. And so, can you see that? Oh, you cannot see it. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I'll give you a glimpse, or I'll give you an explanation. So the guy on your left, his name is John, and the guy on the right holding guitar is Jigger. Those two guys invited me to church. Yeah, there's no way. Those two guys invited me to church. Those two guys drove me, I mean, their families, of course, drove me to church for 5 years, I think. Every Sunday, drove me to church. Those two guys listened to me ask stupid questions about anything and everything, about my, you know, questions of religion or whatever. And they would do their best to try to answer me. Those two guys were one of the reasons why I am who I am now. And those two guys were the guys that I served with in ministry for a long time. And those two guys, till this day, are some of my best buddies in my life. And I'm actually that guy in the middle. I look a little bit skinnier there. But so my journey of faith came through those two guys. Until this day, we're still buddies. Every time we go to LA, I force Brini to go hang out with them, because I say, no, we got to hang out with these guys because they're my brothers. And so I would always go see them. And it's through these guys and the ministry that it came for me to meet this guy, which sorry, I can't help you there. His name is Juan. Juan was one of those guys in ministry that was very difficult to deal with. He came to church for the girls. He didn't really understand the gospel. He didn't really care much about church, and it's other than just coming to hang out. And he's grabbing Jigger's face, of course, and makes that face. I love this guy. He lived in one of the worst parts of LA, and every time I would have to drive him home and always worry that I'm going to get shot or something, dropping him off. And I'm like, I get to his corner. It's like, Juan, get out of my car. And then I take off because, yeah, there's some crazy stuff in that neighborhood. Anyways, Juan, for the longest time, was the person who would always test my patience and test my faith of the calling of ministry. And it was after so many years, I think 9 years, that Juan finally came to faith. And it wasn't actually through my ministry. It was through somebody else. But Juan called me up and he said, hey man, I'm a Christian. I was like, oh, you're lying to me, you punk. And then he's like, no, I'm a Christian, man, for reals. And then he was just telling me about his conversion. And it was such a joy to be able to be a part of God's ministry to him. And so being in this church have also, and in this ministry have also led me to this guy. His name is Mark, and I call him Marky. If you grew up in the 80s and 90s, I call him Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. But you guys have no idea who that is. Anyways, Mark is a very, very loving guy. Hence, he loves to be held. In ministry with him, same thing like Juan, just having a hard time ministering to him, for all the wrong reasons. But nevertheless, the relationships that you build through ministry is one that is lasting. Till this day, I still keep in touch with him. Till this day, I still try to minister to him and have a relationship with him. And of course, he's gotten skinnier and cooler for me now, but he still keeps in touch. And so ministry has also led me to minister to, in the urban context, with these girls. And these girls, I feel bad, I forgot their names. Anyways, so, no, I'm just kidding. That girl's Jennifer, and then Desiree, and their friend. Anyways, got me to get a glimpse of their life, of what it means to have to not have fathers in their life, or to grow up in a family where they don't have all the money and they don't have all the things in this world, but yet they're so happy. You know, allowed me to see a life, a mentality of people that they don't need everything, and yet they have Christ and they're just so happy. And it's a lot. It's wonderful to take in. And it's through that church and that ministry that led me to the Philippines, which led me to this part of the Philippines to do missions, where it was one of the, I guess, the most dangerous parts of the Philippines. Anyways, Notice I blend in with the dangerous crowd. I don't know if you can see me, but I'm hiding in there with my bald head. So it allowed me to see this part of the world where when I think of ghetto, East LA, it does not compare to the ghetto or the slums of the Philippines in Tondo. It's like night and day. And it allowed me to see and to minister and to be a part of a ministry that reaches out to all types of people. And even the poorest of the poor, so to speak. The most neglected of the neglected, if that even makes sense. Allowed me to minister to these people who are criminals, to little kids in orphanages, in this orphanage in the Philippines, where they're innocent, their parents have leprosy and they're stuck in a colony, but the kids are not allowed by the government to live with them. So they live in this orphanage that was started by a Christian couple that wanted to reach out to these kids and wanted to give them life. And so being with these kids and being with them, you learn about God's love for orphans and kids and neglected people and all this stuff. And you see that the ministry is much bigger, it's much more profound, and that living life for Christ here and now, it's quite beautiful. And that you can impact people's lives, and in turn, by the grace of God, you grow spiritually, and you learn, and you know so much more, and you become a different person. And this is how crazy those kids are. One has his underwear over his head. Funny kids. Anyways, so that led me to, that journey of the life led me to Boston, where I met these group of people, where we prepared ourselves in ministry to be pastors all throughout the world. One is in Korea, the other is in Pennsylvania, the other is still in Massachusetts. And we all still keep in touch because the ministry keeps us close. And it's in New England where I got to teach these kids how to make burgers, mini burgers, gourmet mini burgers. And these kids got to experience what it means to cook and prepare a meal and to serve the community. And so, as I close, it's living for Christ here and now that I found some of the most amazing relationships with people. And it's living for Christ here and now that has helped me to understand God's calling in my life so much more. You know, God who calls us to adoption through Jesus Christ also calls you to live out your faith. Do not be religious without worth. Do not be religious and worthless. Do not be religious and worthless. But God calls us to adoption through Christ and also to live out our faith here and now. And if God calls you to church ministry or to missions or to adoption or to foster care or to evangelize to your schools and friends or God calls you to reconcile with your family and friends or God calls you to God calls you to whatever, God can call you to these things because he called you to be a part of his family, to be recipients of his adoption and his blessings. And if you live for him here and now, I promise you, okay, maybe not me, God's word will tell you, you know, you live in obedience to God and you will experience some amazing things, amazing relationships. You'll find yourself loving the Lord even more. You'll find yourself needing the Lord even more. You'll find yourself maturing that maybe you thought you could never get to this point. Live for Christ now because God has adopted you through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. As we prepare our hearts, I would like to call the worship team to come up as well. Father, we thank you for the gift of adoption in Christ. For some of us here, Lord, that are not yet a part of your family, but we want to, in our hearts, we really, really want to. God, I pray that your Spirit will allow us, humble us, cause us to humble ourselves, lay down our guards, teach us, Lord, help us to trust in you by following you. Help us, Lord, to call you our Abba Father. And we know that you would embrace us. We know that you would welcome us. We know that you would bless us with all the inheritances. And we know that you would do some amazing things through our life and in our life. And so, Father, I pray that you would accomplish this for your glory. Call us to yourself, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.